producer of Halo 3 ODST. Thanks for talking to us, Curtis.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the engineer makes an appearance in the game, correct?
He sure does. He's in the campaign as well as Firefight.
And are there any other special characters that appear in the game?
We do have a new character, the Superintendent. He's kind of a citywide AI. He takes care of all of the systems of New Mombasa, so like all the making sure the garbage is collected on time, making sure the power is working correctly. So he's an interesting new character in the Halo universe.
And when you talk about the new characters, I think about how a game is actually developed. Mm-hmm. So somebody comes in and goes, okay, here we're going to have an idea for a video game. Boom, greenlit, what happens next? Can you take us through the steps from like a geek developer perspective of how that happens?
Sure, ODST is kind of unique because we had such a short timeline. So really it was about coming up with what that core idea was, what the story was going to be about. And then also alongside of that, there was a lot of work to really flesh out what the mechanics were going to be. So we had some really big questions to think about with ODST because we knew that we were not going to tell another story that involved the Master Chief. So really it was about, you know, what's the new character going to be? And we you know, landed pretty quickly on the ODST as the main character. And then the another big part of that was thinking about where's the story going to be? What is this character going to be doing? You know, deciding to really focus it on New Mombasa. And then also the mechanics about how we wanted to come up with a new way to tell the story. So the idea of being a detective in sort of like this film noir kind of environment where it really sort of brought a fresh feel to the Halo universe. So once we sort of have some of those big ideas that we want to try to go for, then it's really about the creatives getting together, you know, Joe Staten, Paul Bertone, Mike Wu, Justin, our director, all coming together and really start thinking about the ideas behind, you know, how are we going to tell a story here, and how are we going to create some interesting new gameplay. So once you sort of start making all the steps to that, then you start doing things like prototyping out, you know, what some of these new things are going to be. So in the early days, there was a lot of prototyping done for what is it like to play as an ODST. So you can't run as fast, you can't jump as high. What does that feel like? How does that feel good? How do we change the angle of the camera a little bit so that you feel more human instead of, you know, this really tall, big super soldier? So a lot of prototyping starts going on to really bring those ideas into some sort of real form within the game engine itself. We definitely had to do a lot of prototyping work when it came to understanding how we were going to build New Mombasa, the city itself. So this was something really new for us where in a typical Halo level, you've got a pretty linear space where you've got sort of chunks of environment that are put together end-to-end to make this long linear experience. But with ODST, we wanted to have a more open world feel to the city so that players could navigate through this big open city in a way that was sort of, you know, non-linear and open. They could go to this part of the city, they could that part of the city. So it was about how are we going to make changes to the Halo engine in order to support that kind of environment. So you know, getting through that, you know, the levels themselves are starting to get fleshed out by some of the mission designers and the environment artists that are working on that. So all this is sort of all going in parallel. You know, and so you're sort of, you know, setting yourself milestones, you're trying to get spaces and gameplay to a certain level, and hopefully all heading towards the same completion date.
So then as a producer, you just sort of put all the elements together and then it becomes playable and now it's about bugs? Is that...
Well, yeah, everything starts to come together. There's definitely a lot of bugs that are getting found along the way. We do have a big push at the end where we're doing a tremendous amount of testing, but we do try to do that along the way as much as possible. One of the things that really helped us out with ODST was that we were working on an engine that was pretty stable. So it is based on the Halo 3 engine. So that really bought us a lot of freedom and time to be able to sort of experiment more and you know, make our artwork look a lot better. So we weren't running into like a lot of the kinds of snags that you would normally have in a production cycle where you're really doing a lot of major heavy work to the engine itself. So yeah, so it is sort of bringing everything towards that closing date. You know, what are the things that aren't working as well? I mean, you know, really the biggest technical challenge I think for us was building that city of New Mombasa. Because it was so big, and so that was the thing that really sort of came in, you know, towards the end. We had other missions that were coming on along sooner than that, but everything did come together at the end.
So how long was actually everything built before it actually goes and gets packaged? Was it a week before it finishes, or was done 3 months ago, and now you have a little bit of downtime before the launch?
Well, for ODST, we actually finished it right at the beginning of May. So it's been sort of in the can for a while. So that was really great. So it made having like launch events and stuff like that really easy, because we weren't sort of pushing right to the last second. But it came together really well. We just have sort of a release process where we start, we sort of get to a milestone where we want to say, okay, everybody is working on content. You guys are now done. So we want to actually start getting people out of working on the game and getting it pared down to a much smaller team, what we call our like post-production team, where they will actually get together a smaller group of people and sort of put all of those final touches on the game. So it reduces a lot of the churn in the database, and it makes things a little bit more stable when we have a lot fewer people working on it that can do sort of a more focused, concentrated finishing pass.
Great. Now, I talked to some of the community and told them I was going to come and talk to you about Halo 3 ODST, and they have some questions. So this cool. comes from Algorith, and he says, are there any areas that you think you could improve upon if you had more time?
Well, for ODST, I'm not sure what we would have done more. We really... We had a really well thought out, sort of scoped in set of goals that we were trying to achieve in the game. And really everything that we wanted to do, we got into the game. It was actually getting to a point where we had some extra ideas that were sort of like extra credit ideas that we would have liked to have got in. Like for example, Firefight, our new gameplay mode for cooperative gameplay. We were thinking about like some interesting things that we could do as like sort of a secondary game type for that. There was one that Michael Wu, one of our environment art leads, thought of called a game type called Garbage Truckin', where that would involve there's an automated garbage truck that can run around in the city, and so it would involve like doing things like trying to go out and get things and bring it back to the garbage truck as it was driving around the city. So it's like sort of like weird, fun, kind of extra credit-y kind of things like that we had thought about. But we always knew that those were going to be extra credit kind of things, and it wasn't really central to what the experience behind ODST was going to be. So really, I think we got everything in there that we had really set out to get in.
Okay. And Algorith also wants to know, were you able to extract more out of the 360 than you were with Halo 3 since you had more time with the system?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the great things. I mean, our artists especially were able to, I think, really bring the artwork up a notch from Halo 3, and that was... a combination really of us, working on the platform a little bit longer, and also them having more time and experience with the Halo 3 engine itself. So they were really able to understand the ins and outs of it, know where to tweak it, which knobs to turn a little bit more, and what direction to really get the artwork to look just that much better.
Cream Filling 512 wants to know, what new, I know, Cream Filling 512, it's that person's name. What new rendering technologies are in this release?
Well, it is based on the Halo 3 engine, and we did make some modifications to the rendering engine, but nothing super major. But obviously, like one of the things that you'll notice is something like the visor mode, for example, which is the sort of low light enhancement vision mode for ODST, and that's just one of those things that we were able to get in for ODST. It was almost kind of an accident for that feature that happened from the end of Halo 3. One of our graphic engineers had done this really cool effect that could do that sort of outlining of the environment, and so that was something that we thought, hey, we'll keep that in the back of our mind for possibly something in the future, and it made its way into Halo 3 ODST.
Perfect. Intel Man says, were improvements made to the Halo 3 engine, and does the game run in true HD or 640p like Halo 3?
So it runs the same as Halo 3 does, so it's definitely the same engine. We did have to make a lot of improvements. One of the big things that we had to focus on, I was talking before about this big new type of environment that we're making, the city of New Mombasa itself. So there was definitely a lot of work that we had to do with our AI systems in order to operate, intelligently within this more open environment. Because, again, in a typical Halo 3 level, it was a very linear experience, and so we always knew which direction that the player would be coming from. And so our AI works really well in this kind of situation where we know which direction they're coming from, we know where our AI can fall back to, we know where to bring reinforcements from. But in this more open city, we had to come up with a way for the Covenant to be able to believably, be patrolling this city actively, so they can actually do patrol around it in a very interesting way, and they also had to be able to react no matter which direction they were getting attacked from, they had to be able to, you know, sort of fall back and do all those things that you would expect from AO Encounter, but do it in a sort of more less defined kind of space, because we weren't sure where those AI characters would be whenever you did decide to engage them.
Baz, B-A-S, says, do you ever get tired of doing Halo games all the time, and would you like to move on to some other IP?
I don't get tired of doing Halo games at all. I'm a huge Halo fan. I've been working on Halo since Halo 1, and I'm not tired of it in the slightest. But there is always the allure of doing something new. It's no secret that Bungie's been working on a new IP outside of Halo.
And I think now's a perfect time to talk about that.
Not.
Intel Man again, I thought this was a great question. Do you plan on releasing ODST on the PC?
We don't have any current plans for doing that, but again, Bungie has never actually really been the people who have made the PC versions of any of the Halo games. So, you know, going back to Halo 1, that was something that that Gearbox was the main developer for there. We did have some interaction with those guys. And then Halo 2 was something that the Microsoft Game Studios did. So it's not something that we've ever worked on, so we ourselves don't have any plans on doing that right now anyway.
W3BBO wants to know, since Microsoft absorbed Bungie, did the corporate culture amongst Bungie's development team change at all?
No, not really. So, I mean, one of the great things that Microsoft did when they acquired Bungie was they really kept Bungie together as a studio entity by itself. So Bungie has always sort of had its own space that it's worked in, had its own management structure. So really, there wasn't really a big change whenever we spun out of Microsoft. It's really been sort of business as usual as far as that goes.
Okay. And Clint Rutkus wants to know, and you actually talked about the visor, the ODST visor tech looks like an unintentional bug from Halo 3. Here's a chance. Was this a bug?
Not a bug, it's a feature.
Is it a buggy feature?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
It worked great. And we actually, like I said before, it was something that one of the graphics engineers had done as kind of an extra credit. Or, you know, he was just kind of messing around in the graphics engine. And so he'd come up with this really cool way that we could get these outlines around the environment. Looked pretty interesting. But really, we actually did have to do quite a bit of work to tweak it and make it work in a really great way, like it does for ODST. So, yeah, it sort of, the seed of it started as something that was just kind of a fluke from Halo 3. And then we put a lot of work behind it and got it to something that we thought was really cool for ODST.
Okay, and then Festive Turkey wants to know, how do the changes around how do the changes around shields, health regeneration, and the addition of health packs change the mechanics of the game?
Well, it really is about making the player feel more vulnerable. So, you know, in the Halo series, the Master Chief is super powerful. You can really run and jump right in the middle of battle without a whole lot of concern about whether or not you're going to get killed while you're in that. So the idea of having a stamina and health is really changes the kind of mechanic, because you have to be a little bit more tactical about how you decide to approach encounters, because if you do go running and jumping right in the middle of something, you're a lot more likely to get killed as an ODST than you were as the Chief. So it's really about making the gameplay be a little bit more tactical and a little bit more rewarding. I mean, you definitely sort of feel like you've achieved something when you take down a squad of Covenant as an ODST versus as the Chief.
And a lot of the older Halo fans are saying this is a resort a little bit back to the past with the pistol and the non-dual wielding and stuff.
Yep.
Were you hearing a lot from the community of negative response when Halo 2 and Halo 3 was a lot faster and no damage, no fall damage, dual wielding?
Yeah, sure. There were some complaints about that, but I mean, it was you know, it was something that we felt was the right direction to go. I mean, dual wielding was a great addition in Halo 2. It was definitely a lot of, you know, high action and you know, that was just sort of the direction that series kept going. And so we did sort of want to bring it back a little bit, though, towards that more Halo 1 type of experience, and especially because you're playing as this new character, the ODST. So a lot of those mechanics really made sense to try to bring back. And that, you know, the pistol was something that, I mean, the pistol in Halo 1, it's a little bit overbalanced, right? I mean, it's a little bit too much of a uber weapon.
Right.
But we wanted to definitely give that, you know, feeling of, you know, powerfulness to the players with a really fun, you know, headshot pistol. So
And when we talk about the pistol as a weapon, do you have a favorite? I'll let you go, but do you have a favorite weapon in the Halo 3 ODST that you think people should pick up and try or play with?
Yeah, I mean, it is the pistol. I mean, it's the best. I mean, you get two new weapons in ODST. You get an SMG that's sound suppressed, as well as the pistol, which is also sound suppressed. And it really makes a great weapon combination for the ODST, because the SMG is really great at being, you know, sort of a spread weapon. It's really great for taking down shields of Covenant. And then the pistol is really good as sort of like a finishing weapon, where if you take somebody's shields down with the SMG, switch out, bring up the pistol, you can headshot them for the final kill.
So I got to ask then, Hang 'em High, Halo 1 was all about the pistol. That was where the pistol wars happened. Yeah. Is there by chance any unlockable Hang 'em High in ODST so we can bring back the pistol love?
No, there's not. Okay. A good thing to clarify is that ODST is actually a two-disc set. So there's the ODST disc, which is the new campaign, and it's the new firefight, the cooperative gameplay mode. But then there's also a second disc, which is the Halo 3 competitive multiplayer compilation. And that's got every multiplayer map that we've ever made for Halo 3, like all in one disc, plus three new ones. So it's really great. We thought it would be a great bonus to throw in for our fans, because with that one disc, you can just put that in. You don't have to have the original Halo 3 disc anymore. You can have that one disc. You have all of the maps ever made. You don't have to worry about whether or not you've got the right set for whatever the different hopper configurations are. So you're set to go.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Great talking with you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah.